Okay, we're picking up four lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph on Beis. I'm learning as once again sponsored the Ilay Nishma Shulam is Pasyakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara is now wants to discuss the Mishnah based on the Shita of Rabbah and Rav Yosef, how they explain the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan about whether, right, Kesef and Shtar, how did that play in? So the Gemara asks now, Elamas Nisan, the Mishnah, which says, Diktani Misha Chetze Eved Vechetze Ben Chorin, so the, if an Eved is a half a free person and half a slave. So now the Gemara points out that Bishlam al Rabba. Now I understand, according to Rabba, how do you have this case? Because Mukim Labi Kasef Redivri Akol. He understands the Mishnah is referring to a slave who is half freed and redeemed by money, with a, and then it would be Divri Akol, because everybody agreed that you can't do that, and that would be able to be Podet on a level of Deoraisa. Elal Rav Yosef, Lema Rabbi Hi Velo Rabban. And so, but according to Rav Yosef, should we suggest that the Mishnah is only the opinion of Rebbe and not the opinion of Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan do not accept any way of partially freeing the slave in such a case. So then how would you have a Chatzio ben Eved and Chatzio ben Chorin? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, no, it could be Ilkuli Amma, Be'eved Shel Shnei Shutfin. We're talking about a case of a slave who was owned by two partners, and he was freed by one of them, V'divri Akol. And therefore, the partial freeing of slave because of La La Me'isha was referred to because we said that you just like you need a sefer krisis to fully get rid of the marriage between the husband and the wife. Reuven can't say to his wife, you know, just for the next 2 weeks you're not married to me, or just on Tuesdays you're not married to me. That's not called a sefer krisis. It needs to completely sever the tie between the husband and the wife. So that was the point. That's the same thing with regards to an eved. But here, it is completely severing the tie. The partner, the one shutaf, who's getting rid of his end of the eved, he is getting rid of him in Gansin. Only when one person is only removing part of it, that's when the Rabbanan have a problem. So over here, when the guy is getting rid of his entire side of it, then Lala Meisha is not a problem. Because he's completely severing his end of the tie to the and the connection to this eved. So therefore, even though the other person does control his stake and that part of the Eved is not freed, still, the first partner totally removed himself, and that's why it's okay. So now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbas. Rabba continues discussion about the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Machlokas b'shichre chetzio v'niach chetzio. The machlokas is only when he freed half of the slave and he kept the other half. So therefore, the Rabbanan will say, that does not work because you're not fully removing him as la la m'isha, right? That's what we learn. Aval shichre chetzio umarcher chetzio. But what happens if he freed half of him and he sold the other half? Or he gave the other half as a gift to somebody else. So here, keva denafik mine kule divra kol kone. So there, since the eved is going out of the ownership of the adon for those purposes, so the entire slave is leaving, so everybody would agree that the slave would be half freed. And that would work also, not just the case of Shnei Shutfin, but even here, if it was done simultaneously, or he first gave the other half to someone else as a gift, or first gave it to him. But if it's the other way around, Rashi points this out, that's Beferish, if you did the sale afterwards, so then Pasha the Rabbana would not agree that that's okay, because that's the exact example where you're not fully freeing him, if you do it afterwards. So either the sale was done to someone else, you gave half of the Rishus as a Matana, or as a present, or sold it to someone, before you then free him. Year half, because if you do that around, that would not be valid at all. That would not work. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye." Even that, the Abaye is a kasha though. V'kula lo pligi. The Rabbanan and Rebbe don't argue also with regard to whether or not it's going to work, where he's releasing his entire share of the slave. Atani chada, but one brisa teaches you a kosev nechasev l'shnei avadav. Someone is writing his possessions to two of his slaves, and he does it simultaneously. He writes two shtaros, and he gives them simultaneously to someone else to do a zechia on behalf of his avadim. So Kanu, the lacha is they each acquire half of the possessions. B'shachar said, however, since they each received half the possessions, and included in the possessions is themselves, an Eved Kanani is considered the possessions of the Adon. So by giving each one all of his possessions, each one is kone, the half of the other person, because that's the possessions over here. It's a very interesting thing. So you have Reuven and Shimon, who are Vadim of Yaakov. So then when Yaakov gives their freedom to Yisachar to be kone on behalf of Reuven and Shimon, so Shimon owns half of Reuven, and Reuven owns half of Shimon, so the halacha is there. They have to. The halacha is over there. They each have to come and free their other half, the other person. So that's the halacha. Meshachar zeh. So we can learn from the brisa that the partially freeing them is effective where the adon had gave the rest of the slave to somebody else. Here, the other person getting the slave is simultaneously the other eved. So that would be valid. However, Tani Ida, we have another brisa which tells us Omer kol nechasai nisunim leploni avadi. And if a person says, I'm giving all my possessions to Lashon of HaOmer is Lav Davka, obviously, you have to write it in Shtar. So it means that you wrote to all my possessions given to my slave. The lach is that the slaves do not acquire even themselves. Unlike the first price, this price is teaching us that a partial, that Kol Nechasin Asunah Ploni Ploni Avadai, all my possessions are given to so-and-so my slave, so then this is not effective because you're only partially freeing him, and it's not effective even where the Adam gave the rest of the slave to another person. So how could this is machlokas? Lechora says Abaye, the only way to answer this is my lav harabbi varabana. The only way to explain that this is two different braces aren't stira between each other is that there's different authors of these braces. One brace is the shita of Rebbe, and Rebbe would understand that partial freedom, even where the Adon is giving completely releasing his share, is also going to be valid. And the Rabbanan would hold that this doesn't necessarily work, and that would be against Rabba that assumed divrei Kol that it should be valid. So the Gemara says no. Lo edivi Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan would agree that partially freeing him, where he's completely releasing his end of it, is fine. So why do we? How do we explain a different the discrepancy between the two braces? So that we can explain ha'damar kulo ha'damar chetzi chetzi, that the first brace which says that it's okay because he says all of my possessions are given to you. He says kulo. So he wrote that in the shtar, and since he said that they're given simultaneously to both, he completely released ownership of the slaves at that time. However, the second brisa, it's not valid because he writes in the shtar, half of my possessions are given to you, and the other one he says, half my possessions are given to you. And if he says it like that, so what happened was, is that the Adon wrote this in the shtar, he keeps half of the possessions for himself. So therefore, the Rabbanan do not allow that in that case, because they'll understand that that is only a partial removal of his ownership, and that's when we say that's not valid. That's la 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 misha. So therefore, it's not going to be valid. So that's how we understand the difference between the two cases, and we don't have to explain it to Rebbe and Rabbanan. So the Gemara says the vaha miktani seifa, but the hemshech of this brisa says v'imar chetzi chetzi. Then the braces says, if you say half of you are given to you and half are given to you, lo kanu, that it doesn't work. So lechora, that means that the ratio was lechora talking about a different case, because why would it just repeat itself and say the same thing twice according to the braces? Michlal, the ratio de amar kulu, that implies that the ratio is in fact where you have a different case that it says kulu, and there's even a machlokas over there, and that's not valid according to the Rabbanan. So yet the braces seems to say, right, that there's only in the seifa there'd be where you say chetzi chetzi. So you can't explain it like that. So the Gemara says, no, you can, because kiperushe kamifaresh, so that the seifa is explaining what the ratio was. Af atzman lo kana. The lacha is that the slaves do not acquire even themselves. Ketzad kegon da'amar chetzi chetzi. When is this going to be the halacha where we say af atzman lo kana? Is where in a case where the Adon says to one slave, half of my possessions are given to you, and to the other he says, half of my possessions are given to you. So therefore, Rabbah can explain the brisa as explaining it. So the Gemara even says that Hachanami Mistar, but this is actually the better way to read the brisa, Rabbah's explanation. You're going to tell me that the Risha is where he says Kulu. So then Hashta Amar Kulu Lo Kanu. If you're going to tell me the brisa is talking about a case where even if it says Kulu, it's not Kone, Amar Chetzi Chetzi Baisa, where he says Chetzi according to the Rabbanan. So why even you mention Chetzi Chetzi? Pashut according to the Rabbanan, it's not going to work. Why would the brisa even need a second half of the brisa Bichlal? So rather, Rabbah's explanation seems to be more correct of the way to explain the brisa. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Imishum halo iria. That's not a proof, because Tana Seifa Ligluya Resha. We have this a lot, that sometimes a brisa seems to, or a Mishnah, seems to have something which is very pashut in the second half of the Mishnah, and sometimes it seems to be more obvious in the first half of the Mishnah. So why mention it at all? So the Gemara will often say that it's coming to Megala, it's coming to really show us what the Resha was really talking about. Shelo tomar Resha damar chetzi chetzi. So rather, because you shouldn't say that the first half is where he says half and half. Aval amar kulu kana. But where he says he says to them, all my possessions are given to you. They're going to acquire themselves. Tana seifa damar chetzi chetzi. So the Braisa is telling us that the Adon says half are given to you and half are given to you. Michlal dereisha damar kulu. So that implies that the first halacha refers to where he says all my possessions are given to you. Vafilu hachi lo kanu. And even so, the slaves do not acquire themselves, and that's the halacha over here. So the Braisa is telling us it's not unnecessary, because we might have thought incorrectly and misunderstood the Braisa. That's why you have to come on to this point over here, that really, at the end of the day, that what's happening is that the Seifa is coming to explain the Raisha. So really, both Rabbah and Abaye have their explanations of the Braisa, and none is really conclusive from the Braisa. So now the Gemara says, Ibai Seima lo kashin. So now, another way we can explain that there's not a problem with the Braisa, that really both Braisas are talking about a case where we give all his possessions to each slave. So why is there not a kasha? Kan b'shtar echad. The second Braisa, it's talking about a case where the Adun gave the gifts to both slaves with one shtar. And he wrote, all my possessions are given to so-and-so my slaves. That would not be valid even if both slaves are going to be completely freed, because we learn Lala Meisha, and two women cannot be divorced with the same shtar. Just like one woman. If a man, Reuven, is married to both Rachel and Leah, he cannot divorce both Rachel and Leah with one shtar. Two women cannot be divorced with one divorce from the same husband. Just like, got that clear. So, kan b'shtar echad, kan b'shnei shtaros. However, the first braisa where he's giving them two separate documents, so then it's pashut that would be valid. Both braisas are telling us that really partially freeing a slave is valid. It's just there was a technical point with the braisa that says it was invalid because that case was given with one shtar to two different slaves, and that would be invalid. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Bishtar echad, my area chetzi chetzi. But if it's with one document, then why do you have to mention the case of half and half? Say that even if they're completely being freed, that wouldn't work with one echad. That even if you say that you're giving the whole thing, that you're going to free this whole adon, but the fact that it was given to two different slaves, that is the invalidation over here. So say a much bigger chiddush. So the says the Gemara hachanami kamar. So rather the phrase is saying, Even this, af atzman lokanu, that the slaves do not acquire themselves, b'medra, remember in b'shtar echad, with one document of al-b'shnei shtaros kanu, but the lachas with two different documents, they would acquire themselves. And that would be following Rabbah, that partial freedom is effective. So, v'imam mar chetzi chetzi, and if he says half and half, so af b'shnei shtaros, nami lo kanu, so even if they're two different shtaros, they do not acquire themselves. That's the lacha over here. So now the Gemara says another potentially answer. We could give even another answer. So the Bryce is over here, which is talking about two different documents. So we could say there's no kasha because the first Bryce is talking about a case where the Adon gave the documents simultaneously to both slaves. So therefore, they're effective at the same time, and because he never retained any ownership. However, it's if the Bryce was given one after the other, so then he presented them to the slaves at a different point. So then, since he never removed himself, so that would not be valid. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, why is that not valid? I understand why the second Bishlam Abasar Lukane, they understand why the slave who got the document last doesn't acquire himself. Dahakane Lekama, because the slave who received the document first already acquired him. And that's why the Gemara is telling us that the Adon didn't do simultaneously. He meant to give them to the first slave. Elakama, but the first slave who got his star, Likne Nashi Likne Elachavri, he should also acquire himself and acquires his slave as well. Why does he say that he's not freed? That's a full siluk. He's completely removing himself, the Adon, from that slave. So why doesn't he fully get himself? Ela Mechavarta Kadashina Mekara, rather, meaning that's such a good point that's correct. Meaning if you do it with Zach or Zeh, it's possible that the first slave should be able to go free, because clearly you had in mind that that whole slave should be removed. And that's exactly, we end up rejecting this answer. We don't keep that answer. Now we have another answer. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, Shani Asam de Kakarle Avadai. Maybe the second price is different because he says, he still refers to the slaves as my slaves. He's calling them in the shtar, he writes, all my possessions to give in to Ploni, Avadi. So obviously, if he's calling Avadi, he clearly is referring to them still as a slave. So then he didn't mean to actually give them themselves to free themselves. So the Gemara says, Emar le Rav from the Rav Ashi, Udilma Avadi Shiyukvar. No, that's how everyone referred to them. Everyone knows that he was a Reuven, my slave. What else am I supposed to call him? Milo Tznan, don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah in Peah tells us, Hakosev kol nechasev la'avado yatzal l'cheros. If someone writes his possessions to his slave, the slave is freed. Shiar karka kolshu lo yatzal l'cheros. However, if he keeps any part of property, we do not let him be removed, because we can't identify which land was excluded from the gift, and therefore the slave does not acquire any land. And so therefore, since no land is transferred, the slave also is not necessarily moved. And you're not able to, that's the Palginan over there, you're not able to split that statement that we discussed at length on Daf Ches. So Gemara says, Shir karka kol shu lo yatzal l'cheros. However, Reb Shimon says, L'olam bechor, no, even there, you would be able to split that dibor according to Reb Shimon. So ad shimar kol nechasin esunan l'ploni ad dechutz me ribu ha-shebehem. Except where the Adon says in his statement, all my possessions are given to so-and-so my slave, except for one in a thousandth. And since he didn't specify what was the one in a thousandth, maybe that one in a thousandth actually included the slave himself. The slave is worth much more than one in 10,000. So the slave is worth a lot more than one in 10,000. So in a chanami, he's worth that, Rashi points out. But still, he really hated his, he felt he treated him like such a lowly person. He viewed him as like one in 10,000th of his possessions. And that's why he doesn't go free. So the Gemara says, so again, So we didn't even flesh out the kash yet. Ravashi wanted to say, if you keep avade. So taima, so the reason that Rav Shimon says that it's not valid when you say one in 10,000 because he says, the amar chutz mi echad merbu ha-shaben, because you leave 1/10,000 aside, and that meant maybe it was even the slave. If he didn't say that, kane, so then the lach would be that the slave would, in fact, acquire himself. Amai, why should that be though? Why should that be that he's konev? Hi, Eved Kakarilei. He's still calling him a slave. And we, lechora, the Rabbanim don't agree with that, disagree with that point. They just disagree whether you could say palgidin or not, but that's, on that statement, even split up one, even a statement, minei ubei. Ela vade shayakvar, hachadami vade shayakvar. It means, clearly my former slave here also must mean the former slave, so therefore we reject Ravashi's explanation based on our explanation of the Mishnah. Okay, very good. Now the Gemara continues to a new question. Nagchoshor, if an ox gored the slave who's half freed, back to our Mishnah, where we talk about who's half freed and half not, so you have to pay, generally you have to pay the person, because right, it's the Evek Knani is the possessions of the owner, so if an Evek Knani generally gets injured, you have to pay the amount to the other one, but here he's half freed and half not. So the Gemara makes the Braisa makes a chiluk. If it's Yom Shel Rabo LeRabo, Yom Shel Atzmo LeAtzmo, if it was the day, so he's they split up the 6 days a week that he works, right? Shabbos to Shabbos. So 6 days a week. So on Tuesday and Thursday is the Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday is the day where the guy is for himself. So the Monday, Wednesday, Friday is for the Adon. So if he was Nagachim on Sunday, which he belonged to himself, then the money he gets to, he keeps the money and he keeps the money. So that's the case. Agav, what are we talking about over here? How do you have a case that he's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Mechor that we're handling the Shaila? At the end of the day, his Eved needs to be freed in such a circumstance. Does he need to be freed? And Tosas points out that if it's a case where a person needs to be freeing him and he's ignoring the Takana of Chazal, and we didn't take care of it yet. Pasha that the Adon shouldn't get the second Adon shouldn't get his possessions because he's violated Takana. We definitely wouldn't give him the schus of that money. So that's what Tosas points out. So where do you have the case over here? So that's Pashut, that you would have the case in a situation where the half-slave was given to a katan. In that case, we pointed out that you can't necessarily force the katan, and then we'd be able to, that would be at least a shayla where it could apply. So we say again, Yom Shel Rabo LeRabo, so if he was hit on a Sunday, that's where he was himself in our example, then Pashut, he gets to keep the money. If he's hit on a Monday, though, then he doesn't get to, he was gored on a Monday by the ox, and he would not get the money. Rather, the Adon would get the money. I clipped it around. The Gemara was said Yom Shel Rabo LeRabo. Meaning Sunday. In our example, so then it was really Monday. The first Gemara was talking about the case where it was Adon, and the second case was him. Saying the same thing, just translating the words here. The Gemara says Ela Ma'ata. So if that really is the case, Yom Shel Rabo Yisa Shivcha the day. So you're saying that he's completely free on the day where it's Sunday, right? Sunday, Tuesday and Thursday, he's completely to himself. So let him marry on the day where he's completely shayach to the Eved, where he's coming to the Adon on Monday. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So on those days, let his Adon marry him, and she'll only be with him on those days. Yom Shel Atzmi Sabaschor, and on the days Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, let him be with the Bas Yisrael because he's fully not married. So Gemara says no. Isur lo karmina. The Isur Heter is very different. When it comes to monetary halachas, we have the ability to mechalek and say that half of him the money should be his and the half of him. When it comes to Isur Heter, that pasha we don't make chilukim like that. His intrinsic status as half free and half not would remain all the while you're trying to marry him to a Bas Chorin and similarly to a Shifcha. That those both can't work because of the intrinsic other side to him. But when it comes to the monetary aspect, we are able to divide that and say that on Sundays he's completely owned by himself, and then on Mondays he's not. We're able to divide the money. So the Gemara says, Tashma, another kasha, if that's really the case. So in a case where the Braisa is talking about if an ox killed, so there's a knas, if a person kills the Eved of a person, Shloshim Shkalim Yitin Ladona, the Pasuk says that. You have to give 30 shekel to as a knas to the Adon. No sin chatzi knas the rabbo. So the halacha is if it killed someone who's half slave and half not, so the ox's owner has to give half the penalty to the slave's Adon. Turning on to the next time. V'chatzi kofer liyorshin, and half the kofer again is the 30 shekel. If it's a im kofer yushat alav. So the pasuk says that you have to pay you have to pay. Kofar Agav only applies to Shor Muad. It doesn't apply to Shor Tam. Shor Muad is someone who was gored three times, and we know that he's warrant, right? So there you have to pay it to the Adam. So it's paid even if the slave has no value, so that's given half Chotze Chotze the Yorshav. So the Gemara asks over here, so why is that the case? That it doesn't matter when it happens. Why don't we make the same chilek? We seem to be not making chilek on which day it is. We seem to be saying no matter what, they split the kofar punishment, that the Yorshin of the guy who died get the 15 shekel, and the other person would get, the other Adon would get 15 shekel as well. Why is that the case over here? Why is that the case? So the Gemara says, Shani Hacha de Kakalia Karna. The case of the Braisa is different from the case that we're talking about because you've completely removed the Karen is the whole principle. The principle's gone. What's the principle in our case? The actual slave, he's gone. So in a case where the guy's just getting injured, he's gonna go back to work. Fine, not a problem. He's gonna go back to work later. So let him, whoever's day it was, will get the benefit of the day that he was injured and he'll get that money, but the rest of the days will work. However, here, when the case where the guy's dying, then they should push it, split the damages. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then what is an example of an injury that would be where he's not losing his principal value? The Gemara says, that's also something which is completely losing the principal. So the Gemara answers, no. What do you mean? Not like you cut off his hand, but rather, you broke his hand, or you sprained his hand. So at the end of the day, it's going to be go back to its original health. And so in that case, the payment is made, it's split between half and half. So that case would be, that's not Kalya Karna, and that would not be split half and half. Rather, that day would depend on whose day was the guy injured. So that's low Kalya Karna. So the Gemara points out that there's a fundamental machlokas between, I think it's Abaye and Rava, Abaye and Rava, with regards to the nature of paying somebody who's damaged. According to Abaye, who understands that if a person is injured, and the person is going to eventually have a full recovery, so you have to give the victim, the person who was injured, you have to give him a lashon of the Gemara right now, is Sheves Gedola, major Sheves. Sheves is like the fact that he's not working. So you have to pay him for that major loss, due to be able to loss, as well as even the Shevek Tana. So there's a difference in a situation where he's like in bed in the hospital for 2 weeks. He's not even moving. So Pashut, though, that's called Sheves Gedola. Baye says you have to give him that amount. And then even after those 2 weeks, where now he doesn't need full rehab, but he's not able to go back to fully working. He can only work, let's say, instead of 8 hours a day, he can only work 4 hours a day. So then you would have to supplement that amount that he's losing for those 4 hours a day as well. That's also called part of Shevis. So Shapir, according to Abaye, I understand that this halacha is the case that according to Abaye, such an injury, even when it was inflicted by an animal, would be understood that you would have to pay those damages. So because you have that case over here. However, El Rava de Amar Enonosin El Shivto Shebechol Yom Vayom. Now, according to Rava, that says that he only gives the victim the lost amounts from what he loses on a day by day basis, that he does not need to pay the person for the entire decrease in value in the principal, because it's only temporary. He has to pay him just the loss of his wages, whatever he's going to be losing as things that he would have earned. So while the person is in bed, so he has to pay him the full wages as he would have had to done before his injury. After that, he would have to pay compensate that amount according to Rava. So this case of the injury by the ox, Vishor in a Mashalim El Nezek, that the ox is only paying damages and not necessarily Shevis. So you're not paying Shevis. So that's the whole difference. Fundamentally, if it's an animal or not, what would that be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava? So according to Rava, if the ox had inflicted this injury, so then the ox would not be chayav according to Rava to pay that. So then this case, then how could it be that it's going to be something which is called something which is over, that it's going to be lo kalya karna, that necessarily wouldn't be. So how are we going to explain Rava? So now the Gemara wants to say that we could give two possible answers to Rava. Ibais ema kshako adam. Maybe the case where the case of a lo kalya karna is not by an animal, rather it's talking about a case where it was done by a person, and we're fine. And we have a case of lo kalya karna, where you're not losing out on the principle. Ibais ema mimrahi. Maybe you could say that this halacha is not a Mishnah or a Braisa, it's only a statement from an earlier generation, which we don't, it's not attributed. So therefore, he disagrees with that statement. So it doesn't fit with Rava, and he disagrees with it. So he's able to argue on it because it's not a Mishnah or a Braisa. So this is a very interesting thing. Who exactly said this theme? It wasn't a Tanur Rabbanan. It wasn't a Brisa. It wasn't a Tnan. It wasn't a Mishnah. So the Achrona pointed out, Rav Chanan made this famous. Rav Chanan said that we learned from over here that it was a statement that we knew was from earlier generations. We just didn't know who it was, and it was a statement that wasn't necessarily authored by a Brisa or a Mishnah. So therefore, Rava felt that because even though he's an Amora, Amoram don't disagree with Tanaim, but that only applies to what was actually in our Masorah as a Mishnah or a Brisa. That which is not in the actual text that was studied as Tanaim and as a Mishnah or a Brisa, Amora felt that he could disagree with. I wonder if that has ramifications. Also, like, it's famous that there's certain Rishonim that Meiri, let's say, we didn't have it in the Masorah for a very long time, and now all of a sudden it came back. So, like, if you have Beferish and Meiri that are saying things, but we had Masorahs that said differently than the Meiri, so do we factor that in at all in terms of our Pesach Halacha, because that was not in the Masorah, it's not the text of what made it through, what was reviewed and understood by the Achronim, by the early Achronim, by the late Rishonim, to explain those Pesachim. So that's a very interesting question, which kind of, over here, it seems to imply that, yeah, you're right, it doesn't have that same level because it wasn't an official Masorah of the Mishnayos and the Brisa. Anyway, Vaiter, Ibailu, so that was two answers for Rava. Now the Gemara says another question about a Chatziavid. Mu'ukav get shichur. Someone who has is freed, and he didn't yet get, meaning he said, let's say an example where he says that you're hefker now. So he's freed, but he still doesn't have, he doesn't have his get shichur to be able to have kinyan isser yet, meaning that's not released. His isser is still not released, and he's not able to marry a bas Yisrael yet. So what the halacha is, if he's killed by an ox, yesh lo knas, So does the Adon receive partial payment of the Knas, if he was or all the payment? Oh, Elo Knas, or does he not? Meaning, because what's the Shiloh? Because Kesef Shloshim Mishkalim Tein Ladon, Avam Rachman, the Pasuk says that you should give it to the master, to the Adon. Who's the master over here? By Ladon, he's not the master, he freed him. He can't work for him anymore. He's not working for him. Or maybe the second side is, maybe there's still a shtickle point that he's an Adon, because he's holding back his ability to be part of the Jewish nation. He's not able to marry Bas Yisrael. Adilma Keva de Mechuzar get Shechurer. Adon Karinabe. So that person is considered a Adon. He's considered the master, and therefore he's entitled to this payment, because he is in control of whether or not he's allowed to be part of the Jewish nation, so he should receive the payment of the kesef. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we could bring the brisa. They split it. So the Gemara says, my love, commission achrona. Isn't this with the opinion of Beis Hillel's Mishnah achrona that a person is obligated to free his slave? So we see over here, the slave is a free person. He just didn't get the shtar shechar yet, and yet he receives the money. So the chora, this is a raya. So the Gemara says, no, lo, commission achrona. The brisa is actually holding the Beis Hillel's original ruling that you're able to have half and half, and therefore the Mishnah is talking that the monetary rights are received by the slave. That's why they're split with regards to a knas. So we don't have a proof for that case. The Gemara says, Tashma hepil es shinav. If a person knocked out his tooth, when a person goes out, v'simes eno. Yeah, so if a person blinds his slave or knocks out his tooth, we actually learn out not just that, but even if he like cuts off his fingers, his toes, his ears, any parts of that, even his right private, any part of that, we learn out that's also the shin v'ayim. We learn out from the collar part of the cloud, I think. So we learn out that it's something that's ena chozer. Mimshu begalav ena chozer, I believe, is the drasha we have in kedushin. So anyway, what happens over here? The adon has to pay the slave the value of his lost eye. So he pays that value. So now the Gemara says, you're going to tell me that in a case where over here you're freeing him and the knas is in fact given to his master. So we can say, even if the other person who's injuring a slave pays the damages to the Adon, can it be that the Adon who injured the slave himself, he pays the damages to the slave? Meaning that if the death of the one who needs to be freed entitles him to this penalty, so then the injury, he has to be paid by the guy himself. So then Kol Shekein, this case over here, that he should be entitled, the person who is being freed is the one who should be entitled to it. So the Gemara says, no, Dilmak Mandam, maybe the Brisa is following the Shita, the one who says that a slave whose tooth was knocked out does not need to pay him, and there's no raya from the right. If he needed to pay him, Pashut, it would belong to the slave. But maybe we're not holding on that Shita. So the Gemara says, because it's a machokas and the Brisa, we're about to quote the sign of the Brisa tells us, Bekulan Evid Yotza Ben Lechirus. That if you lose any, Bekulan is not just the case of a Shein V'ayin, but any, which is a Mum Shabagalai, Vino Chuzer, like a person's fingers, toes, right? Those things also, if he cuts off any of those, then the Lach is he goes free. So, get Shechor Mirabo, but Vitzarach get Shechor Mirabo, and he needs a get Shechor from his master. Divrei Bishmal, that's a Bin Rabbi Shmal, Rameh Omer, in the Tzarach. Rameh says, not require get Shechor, Rabbi Lazar Omer, tzarech. Rabbi Lazar says he does need. Rabbi Tarfon Amar ain't a tzarech. Rabbi Akiva Amar tzarech. The Rabbi Tarfon appears more correct with regards to he's going to Shein V'ayin. However, Torah zichsalo. The Torah tells him explicitly he's allowed to go free. But Rabbi Akiva b'shari varim. But Rabbi Akiva, if he loses it, like his ears or something like that, that he would need to get a get shechur. Because it is a penalty imposed by the chachamim. The Gemara says knas. What do you mean? Hakra kardeshin. And it's a pasuk. It's still din and andrasha deraisa. What are you talking about? The fact that he gets his ears cut off. Why should it matter that he doesn't? That he should. Need to get shechur. Ella ema hoyel midrash chachamim. Rather, that it's learned out from the pasuk. So that's why, maybe just to make it more clear, even though he goes free, he still needs to get shechur. So the chachamim understand that people might try to claim him. They're not going to remember this halacha. So that's why he still needs to get shechur. So where does he buy lehu muukav get shechur? A person of a freed slave of a kohen who still needs to get shechur. Ocha b'tshuma, ain't ocha b'tshuma. Is he allowed to eat truma or not? Kinan kaspo machmana. We know that the pasuk says the kohen kiikne kinan kaspo, right? Something, I forgot the exact pasuk. The pasuk we have on the side here in the Torah. O kohen kiikne nefesh kinan kaspo yochabo v'yel b'yisavahim yochlo b'lachmo. That's referring to truma. They're allowed to eat truma. It's one of the kulas by Eved Knani and a chumra by Eved Ivi. Eved Ivi is just a worker, so he doesn't allow to eat truma. He's not allowed to eat truma, but Eved Knani is members like his possessions, like his animals, which are allowed to eat truma. So. But here also, is he still considered part of the others or not? Very similar to Shiloh. Kina Kaspar Machwana Vadlov Kina Kaspar. He's not considered the acquisition of his money because he's no longer working for him. Maybe that is still considered his property and the fact that he's still preventing him from being married to Basel till he gives him that get shechur, and then he would be allowed to eat Truma. What happens if you have a child of a Kohen's wife that was confused with the child of the slave? So we don't know who's who. Haray Elu Ocham B'Truma. So now they're both allowed to eat Truma. Because manav shach, even if it's the Eved, then it's fine. The kids are, they got mixed up. They don't have DNA, so they have no idea who's who. They look similar. Cholkin chelik echad al goren, and they receive only one portion of them. I mean, they're not allowed to get two portions because we don't necessarily give to an Eved to only get one portion. Agdila atarovis, but when they grow older, now that they're bar mitzvahs already, Meshachim says that they can free each other. Because manav shach, if the one who's the Adon, who would be freeing the other one, and therefore they would be freed. In that case, we see that the child, the Mishnah is telling us that both allowed to eat truma as long as they are. We see over here though that the child has to no child works for the other, and the Mishnah tells us that while they're children, they're both eating truma, even though they're not working, but they're just lacking their freedom. The Gemara says that's not a comparable case. Hashta hasam yivavel yav yavim chamneo devedu kinen kasper chamneo. If Eliyahu would come and tell us, or we had DNA testing, and we know who is who, so Pasha, we would keep the Eved as the Eved, and he'd be Kinyan Kaspo and be allowed to eat, and the other one would be the Adon. So the fact that he's not working because we don't know, Misafik, that doesn't tell us Be'etzem that he's not Shayach to be working. We just didn't know to make him work, but Be'etzem he is Shayach to that. So therefore, Achalav Kinyan Kaspo Klal. Here, in the case where he'd be freed, it's a different point completely. It's a different point that the fact that he may have been freed defines him no longer as a slave, and therefore, he is somebody who's not Shayach to be eating Truma and not the property of the coin at all. And therefore, our question is an answer from that. Okay, Baz Hashem will pick up with the Bailu, Amir Tashem on tomorrow's daf.